Power on.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Pop Culture Retro-Rama podcast. I'm your host, Vic Sage, and I'm here to share memories, thoughts, and information on all manner of retro-related properties. Movies.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Music.
I want my MTV. All right.
Comic books.
These ain't your daddy's comic books, fanboy.
And toys.
It's Castle Grayskull.
And it's mine.
Broadcasting to you from the depths of the Pop Culture Retrorama Vault. So, come join us, won't you?
Now, you're playing with power.
Friends, Halloween 2019 is upon us. As I mentioned in the last episode for the Blues Brothers, I felt it was appropriate to deliver a Halloween special for this show. I plan on this being similar to the one-up shows for the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast or the matinee episodes with Saturday Frights. This will probably be much shorter than the standard show. With it being the season of fright, as well as spooky entertainment, I have chosen an animated series to discuss from 1980. That sadly only lasted for a single season. Today's episode is all about Hanna-Barbera's monster-themed adventure show, The Drac Pack.
From the monsters of the past comes a new generation dedicated to reversing the evil image of their forefathers. Under the leadership of none other than Count Dracula, known as Big D, three teenagers formed the do-gooder group named the Drac Pack. With special powers, they can transform into super and mighty monsters and use their skills against all evildoers, especially the diabolical Dr. Dredd and his renegade rascals, Toad, Fly, Mummy Man, and Vampira, a group known as Ogre, the organization of generally rotten enterprises. It's right versus wrong, good over greed, niceness against naughtiness. That's the dedication of the terrific trio, Frankie, Howler, and Drac Jr., the Drac Pack.
I was pretty much a monster kid from birth. I've shared my story of watching James Whale's Frankenstein at 3 years old many times, on The Retroist, Saturday Frights, just all over the place. So imagine my delight when at 8 years old, opening up a comic book and seeing a full-page spread for the upcoming Saturday morning cartoon lineup on CBS, with a handy breakdown of the times for each show. Starting off Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., Eastern, I presume, was The New Adventures of Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll, followed by the Tom and Jerry Comedy Show at 8:30. 9 a.m. was the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Show, which lasted until 10:30, and that was when the all-new Popeye Hour began. An hour later, the slot was scheduled for the Drac Pack, and then at noon, it was time for the new Fat Albert Show. 12:30 was the beginning of the end of Saturday morning on CBS, but it closed out its block of animation with the Tarzan Lone Ranger Hour. That full-color comic book ad apparently did the trick, as I kind of remember mostly only watching CBS. And I certainly remember most of these shows. However, there were definitely times I was turning the channel to catch Challenge of the Super Friends on ABC, as well as Thundar the Barbarian. I found an interesting fact about all of the new series set to debut on Saturday morning that season. Apparently, the season was to have begun on September 6th, but was delayed until November 8th due to a voice actor strike. I've read online the strike lasted for 95 days, and at one point there was a Hollywood Bowl event held to raise money for the actors who were affected by the strike. An evening of stars that featured the late and great Robin Williams and Lily Tomlin, among others, and it managed to raise $500,000 to help those who had found themselves out of work. As I've already said, the Drac Pack only lasted for one season, a mere 16 episodes, but the show managed to be put into reruns for two more seasons. It focused on a trio of teenage do-gooders who, as that intro explained, were doing their best to make amends at the evil and destruction brought about by their monster forefathers. The leader of the Drac Pack was Drac Jr., the great-nephew of Count Dracula, who, it would seem, has renounced his evil ways and acts as a mentor to these would-be heroes and is now called Big D. Drac Jr., while I have found no proof of this, has always looked to me to have been designed to resemble Tim Curry from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, especially when he transforms into a vampire. I'm talking about his face here. Drac Jr., after the transformation, which is completed by the trio giving each other high fives at the same time, and is called a Dracwhack. Drac Jr. loses his red sweater and jeans and becomes decked out in the finest evening wear, with a vest and, of course, a billowing red-lined cloak. After transforming into his more monstrous form, he gains the ability to fly, shape change into a bat, but other creatures as well, and even has a limited form of telekinesis. Often, the way that Drac Jr. behaves is as a know-it-all, frequently ignoring his teammates' observations or declaring something they just said as his own idea. Drac Jr. was voiced by Jerry Dexter.
One thing is becoming crystal clear.
Jerry Dexter was no stranger to lending his voice to animation, as he was Aqualad in the Superman Aquaman Hour of Adventure, Biff in Fangface, Sunfire in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and was even in the Super Friends animated series as Superboy, as well as Challenge of the GoBots, to name just a few. Frankie, as you can probably guess, is a rather big lug. A little slow, perhaps, but he absolutely has a heart of gold. Although, I do not recall them ever saying anything like this in the series itself, but being a teenager, he would definitely be on the football team thanks to his bulk and reflexes. After the Dracwhack, which, by the way, the heroes sometimes cry out wacko, and sometimes they do not. Frankie's transformation doesn't involve him losing his rather humdrum corduroy jacket and pants, but he kind of hulks out, growing in size as his skin color becomes a dark green, as well as the addition of bolts in his neck showing up, and a darkening of his hair from brown to black. He then begins to walk with his arms held out like in 1942's The Ghost of Frankenstein. Frankie also becomes incredibly strong, and can even release an electrical charge if need be. Frankie was voiced by William Calloway.
This is getting all weird.
Calloway provided the voice of two members of the Drac Pack, as he also provided the voice of Howler. With a name like that, it probably won't surprise you to learn he's a lycanthrope, a wolfman. Compared to his two friends, Howler almost appears to be a slacker. Long hair, at least compared to Drac Jr. and Frankie, he's always dressed in a yellow t-shirt and blue jeans with sneakers. After that Dracwhack, he grows a little in size and transforms into a bipedal-looking cross between a dog and a wolf. Howler is capable of great gusts of wind, thanks to his super breath, and even an ultrasonic howl that can shatter glass.
I've never seen Code looking better!
William Calloway was featured in TV series and films, in addition to a slew of Saturday morning cartoons. He was Aquaman as well as Bizarro in Challenge of the Super Friends. He would go on to play Aquaman in all of the following Super Friends series. He too appeared in the excellent Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends animated series, providing the voice of both Warren Worthington III, aka the Angel, and Wolverine in the 1982 episode A Firestar is Born. He also voiced Beachhead in the G.I. Joe series and G.I. Joe the Movie. Plus, he was Liquidator in the equally short-lived 1986 Inhumanoids animated series. Dracula, or Big D's voice, was courtesy of Alan Oppenheimer, who should need no introduction to fans of classic animation, as he provided voices for such series as Battle of the Planets, The Smurfs, and perhaps most famously, he played Merman, Man-at-Arms, Cringer and Battle Cat, as well as Skeletor in the He-Man and Masters of the Universe series by Filmation.
Dolts, halfwits, bunglers, brainless idiots, you couldn't even beat a motley group of gnomes!
That is not the only legendary actor that was part of the Drac Pack. The villainous Dr. Dredd, the leader of the collection of bad guys known as Ogre, appeared as a blue-skinned and definitely theatrical personality, and was perfectly played by Hans Conried, who was a legendary voice actor, having worked on radio with the likes of Orson Welles, and appeared in The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. He voiced both Mr. Darling and Captain Hook in Walt Disney's adaptation of Peter Pan, appeared alongside Fess Parker in the Davy Crockett TV specials for Walt Disney. You could find him in Lost in Space, Gilligan's Island, Laverne and Shirley, and Fantasy Island, to name just a very few of his roles. I, however, was first introduced to him in animation. Not in the Drac Pack, but in Rankin and Bass's 1977 animated adaptation of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit as Thorin Oakenshield, the leader of the band of dwarves who hire Bilbo Baggins to help them retrieve their gold from the evil dragon Smaug.
Child of the kindly West, I have come to know if more of us valued your ways, food and cheer above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. But sad or merry, I must leave it now. Farewell.
Dr. Dredd is an evil mastermind cut from the same cloth of Vincent Price's The Abominable Dr. Fibes, and very much like Skeletor, has no problems with taking out his frustrations on his team of evildoers. Granted, his plans would probably succeed if it weren't for the likes of Toad, who resembles a cross between a toad and a hunchback, acting as an assistant to Dr. Dredd, and was voiced by Don Messick, who I talked about on the new Scooby-Doo Movies episode of this podcast. Toad sounds a lot like Peter Lorre, by the way. Messick also provided the voice of the Fly, who has the head of a human and the body, well, it's a cross between a fly and a man, which gives him the ability of flight and to sneak around on walls and ceilings, as you might imagine. Mummy Man is the brood of ogre, bigger than even Frankie. He too has super strength and is able to use his bandages in all sorts of ways, as lassos, grappling lines, etc. Mummy Man was voiced by Chuck McCann, who just passed away last April, and was not just an iconic voice actor, but he also appeared in numerous TV and films. In animation, though, he was the voice of both Blinky and Pinky in the Ruby Spears-produced Pac-Man series. He was Leatherneck in the G.I. Joe cartoon and animated movie, and he also provided the voices of Duckworth, in addition to Bouncer and Burger Beagle, in the popular DuckTales series from 1987 to 1990. The last member of the ogre team is Vampyra, who, as you can guess, is a vampire, and much like with Drac Jr., she too is able to transform into all manner of beasts. In fact, the young vampire appears to be a possible love interest to her. I definitely think it is safe to say that she is far more intelligent than the rest of Dr. Dredd's henchmen. Vampyra was voiced by Julie McWerner, who's provided voice work in quite a few animated shows, like Genie, which, as I also mentioned in that new Scooby-Doo Movies episode, was a take on the popular sitcom starring Barbara Eden and Larry Hagman. She played Bubbles in the Jabberjaw series, as well as Huckleberry Pie in various Strawberry Shortcake specials, and even Baby and Sassette Smurf in the long-running Smurf Saturday morning cartoon series on NBC. Interestingly enough, Julie is married to radio personality Rick Dees, who is no stranger to voice work himself. The members of Ogre have a mode of transportation known as the Dredgeable, a flying airship that looks like something out of Jules Verne's 1886 novel Robur the Conqueror. In addition, they also have an island fortress. The Drac Pack are set up in an old, dilapidated mansion outside of town, overlooking the city on its hilltop, complete with tombstones and state-of-the-art computer equipment within. Our trio of heroes get around thanks to their automobile they call the Draxter. This stretch car looks like something left over from Dick Dastardly and Muttley, and at the turn of a dial, the vehicle can transform itself into a flying car or an amphibious mode of transport. As I previously mentioned, the Drac Pack only consists of 16 episodes, and while perhaps standard Saturday morning cartoon fare, it is still entertaining, especially at this time of year. Storylines involve Dr. Dredd trying to steal all the color in the world, crafting a device that stops time, shrink rays, photographic equipment that will turn any subject into a two-dimensional cutout, to slandering the Drac Pack's good name by way of a motion picture. I think you get the idea. I I did not know this, by the way, until I started this episode, but the Drac Pack was animated by Hanna-Barbera's Australian studio. I honestly did not know they had an Australian branch. I think it's interesting to see that the Drac Pack has a little different style in animation. I would even go so far as to say, on the whole, it is generally better animated than other Hanna-Barbera shows at the time. Perhaps that is one of the reasons the show didn't last longer. Maybe it was more expensive. At the very least, I can tell you, though, that Hanna-Barbera Australia was responsible for the likes of such animated shows as Clue Club, The Robotic Stooges, Wonder Wheels, The All-New Popeye Hour, and The Quickie Koala Show. The Drac Pack, as far as I can tell, didn't receive any merchandising. I haven't found any board games or coloring books or the like, which is a real shame. I would have eaten that up back in the day, and probably paid a pretty penny to have it in my collection these days. At the very least, it did receive a DVD release, collecting the entire 16 episodes thanks to VEI, and was released by Millennium Entertainment back in 2011, and actually 31 years to the day of its intended scheduled debut, date of September 6th. If you do not have that DVD set, there are some spots on the internet where you can watch the episodes for yourself. Back in 1980, when the Drac Pack was airing, at my grandmother's house, there were a handful of neighborhood kids. I'm not sure I can say we were friends exactly, but due to our being pretty much all the same age, we had a tendency to ride bikes and hang out together. We would often play Drac Pack on Saturday afternoons. I played the role of Howler, with Todd and Sammy portraying Drac Jr. and Frankie. We didn't act out any of the episodes or the like. We made up our own adventures. I'm sure that a few of the neighbors raised an eyebrow as we pedaled our bikes as fast as we could down the streets and sometimes across yards, especially when I would start howling like a wolf. Drac Pack may have only lasted the one season, plus the extra two thanks to reruns, but it influenced a trio of kids. And I think it's safe to say it has become a cult animated favorite. Perhaps it's a series that is ripe for being reimagined for today's audiences, maybe on Cartoon Network or the like. And friends, I think that is about all I can share with you about 1980s animated series The Drac Pack. Although, I want to take a moment and give a few plugs at this time, since this is a Halloween special. If you are looking for something else to listen to while you're out trick-or-treating with the family, or maybe heading out to that big party, I highly recommend Anthony Rotello's TV Terror. I have been on his show in the past, and he frequently has some amazing and important guests on his show, which focuses on those amazing made-for-TV horror movies and series like The Twilight Zone or Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. There is also the Horrified Chicken podcast, which features Sean and Nicole Johnson, another great show where they tackle all manner of horror films, from Silver Bullet to Rob Zombie's take on Halloween. Be warned, though, the language is adult in nature and not safe for work. One of the podcasts I always look forward to is Postmortem with Mick Garris, the writer, director, and producer of such films and miniseries as Critters 2, The Stand, Nightmare Cinema, which I covered on a Saturday Frights podcast. And he is, of course, the man responsible for the excellent Master of Horror series. It, too, is a show with adult language, but you get amazing interviews with the likes of Neil Gaiman, Stephen King, John Landis, Tony Todd, and so many more. Quite simply, it is just one of the best shows out there for anyone interested in horror. The Retroist, by the way, just released a Halloween special episode of his highly regarded podcast. In that new show, he tackles 1987's TV series, Werewolf. I'm sure I do not need to tell you how good the Retroist podcast is. I mean, he's one of the reasons this show exists at all, right? Thanks again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to the show. I can assure you, it is much appreciated. For what it's worth, you can generally find me writing multiple times a day on the Pop Culture Retrorama site. If you want to check it out, you can go to www.popculturetrorama.com. In addition to that site, I am also contributing daily on the Facebook page for the site, as well as the Diary of an Arcade Employee and Saturday Frights Facebook page. If you have any comments on the podcast or maybe suggestions for a future episode, you can contact me at vicsagepopculture@gmail.com. The Pop Culture Retrorama podcast is currently available only on iTunes, but hopefully will be included on Stitcher and Spotify in the near future. If you like the show, why not help us attract new listeners by leaving us a review, a rating, and subscribing on iTunes? The music you heard at the beginning and ending of our show is courtesy of Earl Green's thelogbook.com, kindly used with his permission. I want to personally thank The Retroist again, who, for nearly 10 years, allowed me to share my love of all things retro, including creating podcasts like this one and more. From the Pop Culture Retrorama Vault, I wish you all a very safe and happy Halloween. This has been a Pop Culture Retrorama podcast. Goodbye, and thanks for listening. The Pop Culture Retrorama podcast is not affiliated with or authorized by Hanna-Barbera, ABC, NBC, CBS, or any of the businesses and individuals that have been mentioned in the show. All music and sound clips are the property of the respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. Audio clips are included for the purpose of review, criticism, and commentary only, and are not intended to infringe.